Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're coming to the close of an amazing series of studies on the gospel in Galatians. A wonderful topic today, freedom in Christ. And it's my prayer that you not only learn about freedom, but experience that freedom in Christ. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. To our team, anybody here need freedom?
Yes.
Freedom in Jesus. We're going to study what that means. And it certainly doesn't mean we can go and live disregarding God's plan for our lives. It's a freedom in Christ, isn't it? So we're going to study about that. We're glad you've joined us. And we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School viewers around the world. Here's just a few emails we've received recently. Rosetta writes from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Has anyone visited the U.S. Virgin Islands? Just me? Oh, several of us. Okay. Beautiful setting. And Rosetta, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Just a note, she writes, to let you know how blessed we've been from week to week as my husband and I follow the Sabbath School lesson discussion. I receive insights as I prepare to lead out in my own class. So Rosetta is using that. Download the outline, Rosetta, if you haven't done it yet. It's kind of a helpful map to help you through the interactive study. May God continue to bless you all as you spread His word. Rosetta, thanks for writing to us from the U.S. Virgin Islands. We would all like to come and visit you there. It's a beautiful setting. John writes from Kenya, and he says, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. My family and I are very happy to share with your daily lessons on our television. We do enjoy the Bible study and how you handle each topic. Through your lessons, it has made us more active to read the Bible."
Amen.
Great. "And to ask for the Holy Spirit from God to help us to understand His word." Amen. That's our prayer, isn't it? "Pray for us as a family," John writes, "as we meet the challenges of life. When God returns in His kingdom, we want to be ready no matter what the challenge is." Amen. Thanks for writing to us, John, from Kenya. Here's a note from George in Papua New Guinea. Anybody been to Papua New Guinea? Okay, I raise my hand normally. "This is the first time to watch Hope Sabbath School. I couldn't complete the whole video due to limited internet access. However, I was able to download the study guide, and it will enhance my preparation for my class this coming Sabbath." Sounds like George is also teaching the word, right? Not just learning. "I plan to tune into Hope Sabbath School every week as it helps me prepare for a Sabbath discussion and also to enrich my spiritual life as I stay tuned to the Word of God. I'm going to encourage my friends to download the app on their smartphones." Good? It's free. You can go to our what's the place called where you get the Android apps? The App Store, that's right, whether you have an Android phone or an Apple phone. I'm going to encourage them to download the apps. It's free on either location, just like I did, so they can be blessed too. Thank you for making it easy. Praise be to God. Well, George, I am going to write to the couple who generously funded that app. And by the way, that was a miracle. You know, it's expensive to develop an app. And a young man in England said, "I'll develop the app for you. Could you afford $500?
Wow.
Now, if you know anything about app development, that's like saying, "Could I give it to you free?" And that app is now being used, as far as I know, in 137 countries around the world. Everybody complains that we need an Android app. He only worked with the Apple devices. So we finally found two young men in California. They said, "We'll do it." We got a price of $10,000 from someone. They said, "We'll do it, but we need to know you're committed. Could you afford $500? And the same couple that sponsored the Apple app sponsored the Android app. So it's being used in Papua New Guinea. What do you say?
Amen.
And thanks for being part of the miracle, George. One last note from Elon, E-E-L-O-O-N, Elon, in Malaysia. She says, someone Google Elun and tell me if it's a young man or a young lady. Elun writes, says, "I'm writing from the Penang Island in Malaysia. There are 8 of us in a care group. We consistently meet every Friday evening and watch Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Isn't that fantastic? We're so impressed with the Bible teaching and the sharing of each individual in the group. We pray that God will continue to bless your work. We also love the scripture songs.
Amen.
Thank you so much. The program is a blessing to all of us. And they call themselves Eden Care Group, Penang Island, Malaysia. Well, thanks so much for writing to us, Elong. And I apologize that I didn't Google to say whether Elong would come up as a young man or a young lady. But you know who you are. Send me another email. But send greetings to the other 7 people in your Eden Care Group. Isn't it amazing to see people, every nation, kindred, tongue of people, yeah, learning more about Jesus? You love the scripture songs, by the way. I hope you're singing this one from our gospel in Galatians. It's called I Have Been Crucified with Christ. Why don't you record it and send a digital copy to us? Wouldn't you like to hear the Eden Care Group?
Yeah.
Yes. We'd love to hear you sing the song. Let's sing it together right now. You know, as we were singing that scripture song, I thought, I wonder how many of us, if someone came and said, could I pay you to sing on global television? You'd say, you're talking to the wrong person. But this is not about performance. This is about testimony, isn't it? That we believe that Jesus has saved us and he lives in us. And we just want to testify about his goodness. Mm-hmm. Today, what a great topic, freedom in Christ. And for those of you joining us, we're just glad that you can be part of a life-changing study too. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us as we share together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this powerful topic, freedom in Christ. We long for freedom. And I pray that each Hope Sabbath School member around the world would not only learn about freedom in Christ, but that we would all experience that life-changing freedom. And we just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It was just a short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. He was so concerned. They accepted his message. They loved him. He loved them. And then some teachers came saying, no, 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 it's not that simple. You have to do all of these things. And he's really concerned because it's not just one opinion over another, is it? It's a matter of what? Life and death. Because salvation only comes one way, through faith in Jesus. And here's what he's calling them to. So, Misa, if you'd like to start our study in Galatians 5 and verse 1, what's he calling us to, not just the Galatian Christians, but all of us?
Galatians 5 verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. Say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which you... Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Now, I'm going to ask Christine, do you have the New International Version?
Yes.
Let's hear it in your version. We've got here, stand free in the liberty. How does it read, same verse, Galatians 5:1 in the New International Version?
Sure, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
I like that. It's. Can you say that one more time? I like the wording. Sure. It's freedom.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
It is for freedom, Stephanie, that Christ has set us free. And my question to you and to all of our Hope Sabbath School people would be freedom from what?
Freedom from sin.
Okay. One thing we could say, freedom from sin. In other words, doesn't Paul say somewhere sin will no longer have dominion over you? Like you don't even have freedom to live for God. So he set us free from the bondage of sin, dominion. What else are we set free from? Nicole?
We have freedom from fear.
Okay, freedom from fear. Boy, that's a deep one because there's lots of fears, right? Mm-hmm. What would be some of the fears we could be set free from?
That we're not going to be saved.
All right, a fear that we're not going to be saved, a fear...
That God is angry with
that
us.
That God is angry with us. Yeah, when actually he loves us so much, he's given... Himself in the person of his son, right? Mm-hmm. What else are we free from?
We're free from the penalty of sin, of the law, which would be death. That if we have our lives hidden in Christ, then we don't have to die that eternal death of not being able to be saved.
So even if we said, I'm going to live perfectly from now on, which, by the way, isn't going to work because we're looking at ourselves to see how perfectly we're doing, right?
Yeah.
We've still got a life of failure. Mm-hmm. And the wages of that is death. So we're set free from the dominion of sin, from fear, from the penalty of sin, which is death. Jonathan?
And I was thinking of Paul. I mean, he was Saul at one time, you know, a Pharisee who was, by his own account, the most litigious and very focused on the law. So he knew a slavery to trying to do everything right, to trying to be holy and trying to establish this his own righteousness. So I think that's part of this reason he keeps emphasizing this. No, it's not what I was before.
So he's experienced the freedom that he wants others to experience too. Marianella.
Freedom from works-oriented, like, salvation.
Sure, freedom works. From trying to earn God's love, earn God's favor. Sumiso?
Freedom from the traditions of man.
Yeah. Wow, we got some deep things here. And Paul would say all of the above, right? Freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Let's look at some Bible texts that speak about this freedom in Christ. And none of you said it's freedom to disobey God's commandments and still be saved by trusting in Jesus. Did you?
Mm-mm.
That's not the freedom we're called to. So let's look at a few verses. And let me ask Jason if you'd look first in Galatians 1:3-4.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father.
Where do you see the freedom motif in that verse or those verses?
The word deliver.
Right. It's like being unlocked from a prison, right?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Justin, could you read that for us? Galatians 4 and verse 3. We're talking about freedom in Christ.
Sure, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
And by the way, we studied about the elements of the world. Remember that term we found also in Colossians 2? What is that talking about? Anybody remember, Jason?
It's our cultural, it's our sociological structures, it's the things that make up who we are in this world.
And it could be religion.
Could be religion,
yes. It could be secularism. Mm-hmm. It could be anything other than trusting in Christ for our salvation that holds us back, right? The elements of this world. We're going to be free from those things. Let's look in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 18. Trisha Lee, if you could read that for us. Paul, over and over again, talks about freedom. I noted 28 times in his letters the word freedom or something related to freedom, being free, 28 times. That sounds like a fairly strong motif. Romans 6, 14 and 18.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
So this freedom, talk to me about that, Stephanie, this freedom from, we're freed from the law as trying to earn our salvation, but we're slaves of righteousness.
So we are going to either be slaves to sin or we're going to be servants to righteousness, because mine says servants.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of who do we choose and who do we trust.
Mm-hmm. So master, who our master
yes.
will be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So we're going to live one or the other. All right. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Laurel, mm-hmm. if you could read for us. We're talking here about the freedom that we have in Christ.
All right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, who has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. It's
made me free.
Praise God.
Very clear. Hebrews also speaks about this this freedom. In other words, Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 is a passage we've read before, but I think is worth hearing again. Alex, do you have that for us? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
And where's the freedom word there? Deliver again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deliver. We're being delivered from death. That's the consequence of sin. So, and then the one last verse, someone could probably quote it, but I'd like you to read it in John 8, verse 36. It's about Jesus. Marianella, John 8, 36. If you have it, do you remember what it says? It's in verse 32, it talks about you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's not just content. That's the person who is the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at verse 36 of John 8.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Free from, let's review, free from?
Sin.
Sin. Dominion in my life, free from fear, free from
works.
Works and guilt.
Satan.
Death. Satan? Wow, that's a big one. Right. Free from the harassment. Now, he's still going to intimidate us, but all we have to do is to stand next to our Savior, right?
Amen. Yes.
Then the battle's already won. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So let's talk about that in our lives, freedom in Christ. Do you remember a time when you didn't have that freedom? The opposite of freedom is bondage. What was life like? Jason, were you ever in a place like that?
So there was a time when there were certain entertainment that I was really into. And it's not necessarily that it's all bad, but the problem is it drew my mind. It was my focus. I couldn't wait to watch this certain program, and it was my obsession. It's all I could talk and think about. And it would even take the place of Bible study or spending time, you know, in God's Word. And so how it felt, I mean, at first it felt great. You know, I'm obsessed with this thing. But then I realized my life is empty. All I have is this one TV program. And that TV program, it wasn't Hope Sabbath School. And it didn't fill me in my heart and my soul. It felt kind of empty, like I was missing something. There needed to be a deeper relationship. And you don't get that kind of relationship with just an average TV program.
And now I'm wanting to go on to the how did you find freedom from that? But we'll hold that just for a second. So for one person, it was a form of media, right? Anybody else, something that you felt that held you in bondage, Alex?
For me, for many years, it was just it was the party scene. You know, I ended up leaving the church for a while, getting into some heavy drugs and partying. And I tried quitting on my own multiple times. And it wasn't until It wasn't until I found Christ and I found something to replace what I was, you know, what had me in bondage for so many years. It wasn't until I found that freedom in Christ, and He made it so I never looked back. He filled that hole. That was
Isn't that amazing? People use the word partying when it's actually bondage. Right? It's a searching. Lots of people are searching, aren't they? They're searching for something, but oftentimes they're looking in the wrong place. Right, Jonathan?
I can think sometimes I think it's just we have a bondage to desires, like certain things that we want something so bad, and it consumes, it isn't something that we can really let go and have that peace, and so it controls us. And so
it could be anything, right?
Yeah,
a material possession, a relationship, a popularity. It could bring us into bondage, Alyssa.
It can even occur in church. If the reason you're there is to do the right thing and you work so hard in church all the time, but you're not having that personal relationship with Christ, and it feels like a heavy weight upon you when you're doing
it. So I'm going to come back to you, Jason, because you shared a personal experience with something that you're saying wasn't necessarily terribly evil, but it was kind of taking over, taking away freedom. You were a Christian at the time?
Yes.
So that raises another question. Can a Christian lose her freedom? Mm-hmm. Can a Christian lose his freedom? Obviously, you didn't come into total bondage, but so how did Jesus set you free from that?
So I had a good friend, and I went to some kind of religious program, or I heard a sermon or something, and the sermon had to do with entertainment media, and it started making me think, what am I watching? What am I spending my time with? And the sermon was important because it talked about how, is it fulfilling your desires, your godly desires? Is it giving you a relationship? And as I was thinking, I was like, the answer to these questions is no. It's not giving me this happy, joy, fulfilled relationship. It's fulfilling my selfish desires, but not something eternal. And so I went back, I said, you know what, maybe I should take a break from this program. I should take a break. And so I took time away, and instead of watching that, I would read the Bible, and I would spend time with spiritual friends who could encourage me, and I found that relationship again.
Amen. And did you ever go back, or did your attitude change? How did that happen? There's like 10,000 people say, give us the end of the story, because they can relate to your journey.
So it definitely changed. I mean, even now today, I could potentially still, you know, walk by somewhere and watch that, but it doesn't have that that bondage over me. I can watch it, and there's that attraction is no longer there. So I see it, and the way I used to see it is not the same way I see it now. It just doesn't matter to me anymore. And so I feel like I'm free from that by God's grace, by replacing that with other things in my life.
There's a lot of principles there. We're going to go on to chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. But the principle, you can't just get rid of something without putting something more constructive in its place. Yeah. Nicole, could you take us down? The concern here, the false teaching was about legalism, about adding to, okay, Jesus is wonderful, but you've also got to do these things. Let's look at what Paul says in Galatians 5. Verses 2 through 12.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go to the whole way and emaciate themselves.
Emasculate
themselves.
That's a pretty strong language, basically saying they would do injury to themselves. He's upset. By the way, the issue is not circumcision or non-circumcision. Mm. What's the issue? What did it say in verse 4? What's the real issue?
What's your
Jason?
Relationship with Christ, yeah. And being cut off.
And trying to be, tell us, Samiso.
Justified by the law.
Yeah, that's the issue, whether it's that or the way you wear your hair or some ritual you go through. Anything that is trying to set you right with God rather than trusting in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He says about those people, I wish they would do harm to themselves. It's very strong, but the issue is a matter of life and death. Did you ever fall into that attitude of like feeling like you had to do things to earn God's favor, Samiso? Even after you knew the gospel, why do we do that? Because I don't think it's uncommon. It can happen to any of us.
I think many times, even those introduced to Christianity or a certain denomination or any religion, you're taught some rituals which are not consistent to the Word of God. And sometimes you actually have a conviction that if I'm not doing this, I'm doing something wrong. And then you open your Bible and you find out that grace is given freely. There's liberty in Christ, that He works in you and through you, and it's His will. So that gives you so much liberty just to know that it's Christ who wants to do this for you, and we just need to look to Him. Many times the issue with other rituals and so forth, they focus on me. And if I know myself, I'm going to fail. But if I focus on Christ, I know He sits on the throne.
So let's be very practical. Let's just say someone says, we're supposed to go to church each week, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't go to church each week, you're not going to make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. Is it important to go to church each week?
Yes.
Well,
what really is important each week? Maybe each day, to have a relationship with God, Christine says. Can church be part of that?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, we always have to ask, is the place I'm going helping me to have a closer relationship with God?
Right. Right.
If it's not, it could be part of a distraction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. So Christine's saying the heart of it is it helping me? Now, what are some dangers of not fellowshipping with other Christians? What are some dangers? You know, saying, I don't need church. I met someone just a few weeks ago. I don't need church. It's just me and my relationship with God. Well, in a sense, is he right?
Mm-hmm. No.
That's an important aspect.
Okay, Stephanie, talk to us about that.
Having a personal relationship with God is an important aspect, but the reality is that God made us social creatures, and if we do not have positive influence in our lives, we will fill it with something, and that will not necessarily bring us to God.
Okay, anybody else want to respond to that? I'm thinking of the illustration of the coals in the fire and taking the coal out and setting it by itself. Yes, Trisha Lee.
Thinking about the body. Jesus said his church is like his body. You can't function if there's like your hand over there in a corner somewhere. And so even if you think you're okay in the corner, the church needs you and you need the church. And okay. So he wants us to be this community that functions for his purposes and for his glory.
So here I am and I'm thinking, well, I'm not saved by going to church each week. True?
True.
And yet I might be lost if I cut myself off from that fellowship of the body of Christ. Mm. Why? Because I'm not saved by that membership or that fellowship, right? Mm. But, Alyssa?
Well, something that just came to mind, too, is some are not able-bodied to make it to church. And so then do we have a responsibility to reach out and make sure they're still included in the body of Christ and not forgotten out there, too?
I guess what we always need to ask, and maybe it's a bit, I was going to use the word scary. That's probably not the best word. It could challenge some of the things we do to say, is this helping me to have a more vibrant relationship with Christ, a deeper love for Him, a deeper desire to serve in His name? Or is it just a tradition?
Right. Right.
Is it helping me to experience freedom in Christ? Anybody want to respond to that? Well, what might change? What might change in our life if we looked with that through that lens and said, is this helping me to have a closer relationship?
We'd have freedom. To Samiso's point, we are in communities where there's expectations of how you behave, what you do, and how you have to do these things to be a part of that group. But instead of being so overly self-conscious of, am I in line with this group, you can be free from some of these things that might not be helping your relationship with Christ to just focus on how can I really have that devotion. So I think that's part of the freedom, is that I'm not so focused on how do I please these people or these group of people, but I'm more thinking about how do I please God in our relationship that we have.
And well, I was just thinking while we're interacting, we ought to be asking with every Hope Sabbath School program, is this helping us to have a closer relationship with God? Wow. And if it isn't, we should cancel it. Right? Absolutely. If it's hindering our freedom in Christ, then we're actually part of the problem.
Right.
Is it always pointing us to Christ and to freedom from dominion of sin and freedom from fear and freedom from, what were some of the other things? Death and bondage and the devil.
Condemnation.
We ought to be saying, yes, yes, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's helping us to experience freedom in Christ. Now, Paul, so strong about freedom, he says, but be careful. Verse 13. Justin, if you'd read it for us in Galatians 5 and verse 13. Be careful. How does that read in your Bible?
Okay. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
All right. What translation was that?
King James Version.
King James. All right. Someone else have another version? Anyone have the New Living Translation? Yes, Alyssa. I just want to hear this a word of caution from the apostle.
For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love.
All right. Anybody else have another translation that says it at all differently? No? Is that pretty much? What's the message here? What's the message? Anybody?
Free to serve.
We're not free to go crazy and do whatever we feel like, but we're free to love one another and help each other.
So a person might say, you know what? I am not saved by what I do, but by what Christ has done, so I can live however I want. He says, your liberty of being saved by what Christ has done, don't use that and say, well, then I can do all kinds by the flesh. What does that mean? Opportunity for the flesh.
For your desires.
Yeah, my sinful desires, right? When it speaks of the flesh. I can follow all of my sinful desires and it doesn't matter because I've got a Savior. I can just say, please forgive me. What's the danger of that, Alex?
If you're claiming that freedom as freedom to do what you want, you're not in freedom. After all, you're just back in bondage again.
Right.
Back in bondage.
So it's just kind of this, you're fooling yourself into thinking that you've surrendered to Christ. Samisa? Yeah. And what's going to happen if I'm trying to, well, I'm kind of committed to Christ, you know, it's like I live for Jesus in church in the morning and I live for the devil at night. What's going to happen? Nicole? Do people try to live like that, really?
They do. You can't serve two. The Bible tells you we can't serve two masters. So eventually your heart will leave the serving of Christ and will actually eventually be with the devil. So you can't just serve two people.
So be careful. Your freedom is not a freedom to fulfill all of your sinful desires, but rather a freedom to what? I heard it earlier. Freedom to?
Serve.
To freedom to serve. And that's what Jesus is so passionate about. John 13 is where he talks about serving. He actually washes his disciples' feet. And Jonathan, while we're looking at that text, you want to respond still to this topic?
Yeah, I'm just thinking like the idea that you have true freedom when God changes your heart and you're able to live your life out of love, where self-sacrificial love becomes that foundation and you can live your life daily looking for other people's needs. That is a true freedom that is totally different than the world's drawing, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. It's just, it is a freedom. It looks like it takes more work, but when God puts that in your life, it is this freedom and it's a joy and it's a new way of living.
John 13 is the only chapter that records Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've actually come to celebrate what we now call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper or communion, breaking of the bread and the unfermented wine, which are symbols of his broken body and shed blood. And according to the practice of the Jews there, hospitality was washing the feet of the guests. But they had forgotten to make preparation. Mm-hmm. And what does Jesus do? He gets up, people are speechless, he wraps himself in a towel, and he begins to wash their feet, which he says is a symbol of
humility,
serving them, and it's actually a reaffirmation of baptism, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When I say, Jesus, yes, wash my feet. In fact, he then tells them to wash each other's feet, in that sense, kneeling in Christ's place and washing the feet of another person. And it's in the context of that that he gives us this command, just in case you wondered, in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And I'm going to ask if, Christine, do you have it?
Sure.
John 13, 34 and 35. We talk about freedom to serve in love. How does that read?
We're reading from the New International Version. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another."
So the freedom we have in Christ is the freedom to serve in love. Mm. Now, what if you say, "But I don't feel loving enough"? Mm. Well, don't start trying to do it all by yourself. That's part of the elements of this world, right? What would you say to a person who says, "I don't feel loving enough to serve everybody in love"? Do you have a word from the Lord for us, Simiso?
Well, tell them that they have the freedom to approach the throne of grace with confidence and tell the Father through Jesus Christ that I do not have the will, but give me the desire to do your will.
Okay. Boy, I was thinking of Hebrews chapter 4 when you talked about approaching the throne of grace, right? Yeah. Verses 15 and 16. So you would say, come to Jesus or come to the throne and say, I don't have that. Can I ask for that? Is there a text that talks about God's love being given to us somewhere? Someone's going to say, yes, it's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. I'd like, yeah, someone have it? Could read it? Marianella. I love this promise, by the way, because Simiso is absolutely right. If I'm going to serve in love, the way to do that is not to try to be more loving. It's to ask God to perform a miracle. Mm-hmm. And what does it say in Romans 5, verse 5?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us."
Now, we know that God doesn't violate our free will. We've talked about that a lot, haven't we? About freedom to choose whether we're going to be saved or not. So if God's love can be poured into our hearts, how? By the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. What part do I play?
Just being a vessel.
And in order to receive?
You have to be open.
You have to accept.
What did Jesus say? Ask. Yes, thank you. John and Matthew 7:7. Ask and you'll receive. And also, lest we say, but lots of people ask and they don't make any room, part of asking is
to open up your heart.
Opening up so that when God's love is poured out, it doesn't just bounce off of you, right? Yes. But actually, God's love is poured into our hearts, a love that enables us to serve. Yes, Tricia Lee.
Thinking about some of the principalities or base elements that we get freed from, the world tells us that you do, you give to receive, or you have to earn things. And so people might think that I don't have time to serve or to help someone who can't give me back anything in return. This is a waste of my time. I could be spending this time making money and using that money to then do something else for someone. But if we're free to serve and to love, then we are free from the idea that we're wasting our time, because we realize that it's a precious investment in God's kingdom that is eternal. Mm-hmm. And it's not a waste of effort or a waste on somebody who won't be able to do something with it. And I think that's one way that we are free from the expectation to receive something back, or that this person needs to be deserving. All that goes away. And our sole focus is just, I want to serve, I want to love, I want to give.
So the wisdom of this world is, I'll serve you if you serve me. Mm-hmm. Right? We have an expression in English. I don't know where it came from, but I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. And you're saying the kingdom way of serving is totally different.
Totally different.
In fact, Mark chapter 10, Jesus tells us about the kingdom way of serving, and it's not for what people can do to you. Mm-hmm. Jason, if you could read for us Mark 10, 42 to 45, and then I'd like to give you an opportunity to share either someone you see in Scripture or someone that you have known who really serves in love, where you've seen that in action. Yeah, let's read Mark 10.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Amen.
So freedom in Christ is freedom from, what are some of the things we're free from? Sin. Dominion of sin and fear and
guilt
and Satan and death. Not to say, well, so it doesn't matter, I can live my sinful desires. No, but freedom to serve in love. Can you think of someone, and I realize we're thinking New Testament here probably, because the people before the cross were just looking forward to the Messiah. The people after had seen, and they had read the stories about how Messiah showed the love of God and told us to love one another as I've loved you. That's the sign of discipleship. Can you either think of someone in the New Testament who really modeled that serving others in love because of a connection with God, or someone in your own life that you see a person really serves others in love? Anybody want to share? Yes, Tricia Lee.
Two examples I think of, I believe, Dorcas, who was a widow, and she would make coats for others. And that society, widows didn't have much. And so if anything, she should be having people helping her out, but she was willing to help others. And then I think about people who are involved in children's ministry, or they serve children. Children have nothing to give or offer. Sometimes they're loud and noisy. They have germs. They cough on you. They don't cover their mouth. But I think it's such a privilege and so loving when you see adults and people give their time for children. I think that's just special, because they have nothing to give you back. Maybe some germs, but I think that's great.
Lots of hugs.
Yeah, I had forgotten that Tabitha or Dorcas was a widow. I know the widows came and said, "Here's all the things she's made for us." But that was a great example, wasn't it? And her life was a living testimony. And I love the children's ministry thing too. Someone else, either a Bible person or a person in your life that you really see the freedom in Christ to serve others in love. Yes, Laurel.
Yes. When I was in Poland for a year, I went to a Seventh-day Adventist church. But to get there, I would have to walk to a bus stop and then take the public transportation to the church. And a woman saw that, and she's like, no, I will pick you up and make sure you're in time for Sabbath school and church service. And she would do this for me every Sabbath. And I was not the only one. She would also do this for someone else who was just too old to drive. And so a little thing about driving people so they can come together and worship God is such a great thing. It's small, but it's so significant in the long run.
And we're all wondering what you were doing in Poland for a year.
Oh, I was teaching English as a second language in bilingual school.
And so here's a person saying, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We know we're not saved by going to church, right? We're saved by faith in Jesus, but we talked about the body and the fellowship. And this woman was saying, I'll help you. Yes. And that was a simple and yet meaningful experience for you. Anybody else? You saw serving in love. Jonathan.
I'm just thinking of somebody at our church that invests a lot in making sure everything runs smoothly, in just investing in relationships and going and just connecting with people at the door. And it's just, I think every church kind of has somebody that's just becomes kind of the parent. And so,
well, hopefully.
Hopefully. But right? Yeah, everyone needs that. But I want to think, yeah, how much difference it makes in how much they invest in everybody.
All right. Yes, Marianella.
I'm thinking of my husband, and because he is a physician, he's a surgeon, and he dedicated his time. It was about 2 years ago. We went to Yap, the island in Yap, Micronesia, and served there. Just did a medical mission trip there out of love, him and a team. And I got to help a little bit, but I'm not in the medical field. And so it was just really nice to see how the people there even appreciated that. They didn't have the resources to receive the medical care or the equipment to have those complex surgeries done. But it was so nice to see my husband and some of his co-workers, Cheryl and Twyla, come along too and just help make this possible. And then this year we're going to return again to another Micronesian island, and it's Palau, and again serve. But it is volunteer work, and we're not getting paid for it, and it's just a service to be able to bring to people in that area.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question, because many Hope Sabbath School people know you, but they don't know your husband. Is he trying to do that to earn God's favor? Is he trying to work his way to heaven?
No, absolutely not.
It's a strange question to ask, because I know your husband. But what motivates him to take time out of his very busy schedule as a surgeon, go over and serve in Jesus' name?
When he was in college, he served 1 year as a student missionary in the island of Palau.
Okay.
And he said that that was one of the most beautiful, amazing experiences he had with God, where he read the Bible from cover to cover, and he went there to teach children, and now he wants to return to this place and be able to serve now that he's a professional. And so he's doing it out of love, I can tell.
That 1 year, I've heard his testimony, was a turning point. That 1 year in the middle of his university studies was a turning point, reading through the Bible, serving. That kind of brings out the important truth that when we serve others in love because of our freedom in Christ to not earn our way to heaven, that it actually does something for us too, right? So somebody want to share when you sense God calling you to serve someone in love, and how it ended up impacting you. Anybody can think of something? Stephanie, you're going to talk to me about my parents, probably. And that's beautiful, because Stephanie lives not too far away from where my parents live. And what has God called you to do for them?
So I have the privilege of being able to visit them on Sabbath afternoons, and we always have such a great time. And I think I'm getting more of the blessing, to be honest with you. So it's a privilege.
And my parents, just think that Stephanie is like a great blessing from heaven. And she brings food that she's made to them, and she brings smiles that she's prepared for them. And, it's kind of like you said, Laurel, in some ways it seems pretty basic, and yet it could change a person's life. It could be a blessing, doing something out of love. Anybody else? Yes, Alex.
Well, a lady had called our church and just randomly and said that she was going to be moving, and she was a little bit older, and she wasn't able to pack her stuff up herself. And so she was wondering if we had some youth that could help her out with that. So I told her, we could probably help her out with that. I stopped by her house, though, and I just wanted to bring her a welcome bag from our church and just and a gift for her. But she wasn't home. And so part of me, and it was kind of selfish, was like, okay, well, I guess she's not going to need this help anymore or whatever. And I was about to leave or whatever. And then she came around the corner and she's like, hey, what are you here for? So we ended up helping her. We had about six or seven of our youth class there to help out. And we packed up her stuff for her and then just got all in her garage room ready for her. And the appreciation that she showed, she was crying and just saying, God bless you guys. God bless you. This means so much to me. Mm-hmm. And she'll never come to our church, I'm sure. She's moving away. She may not, know or I don't know how much she knows about God, but she was blessed that day, and she will take that with her the rest of her life. And it's just a blessing as much for us as it was for her, I think.
What did it do for you? Because Alex is smiling while he's telling the story, for those of you who can't see his face. What did it do for you to let the love of God, we talk about God's love poured into our hearts. What did it do for you to let the love of God flow through you? And it's nothing to do with salvation, earning God's favor, right? It's all about Christ living in me. What did that do for you?
It was just such a blessing to be used to see, how I could be a blessing to someone else's life. There's things that I take for granted or can do myself all the time. But to be able to do that for someone else, it just is such a powerful feeling.
I think we have time for one more person to share. Thank you for sharing that. Someone else, where you sense God calling you, maybe in a small thing or a big thing, to serve, and how it impacted you. Jason?
Well, I'm a musician, and I play cello and sometimes a little bit of piano, and so different churches have asked me to come and play for a special music or be part of their song service. And a lot of musicians, if you do these things, people will pay. But for me, I just do it as a service of love. I get blessed playing beautiful music. People are blessed as they hear the music. It's a mutually beneficial relationship in church there of being able to use the gifts and talents God has given me to bless others.
Jesus said, when you give, it's given back to you, right? Pressed down and running over. One more testimony. Anyone? Yes, we've got two here. The reason these testimonies are important, notice people write and say, thank you for my testimony. It makes it practical, doesn't it? Someone might say, I just came back from holding evangelistic meetings in Romania, which is what I just came back from. But there's many ways that we can serve. As a colleague says, do something for Jesus, right? Do something for Jesus. But again, do something not to
be saved
to try to earn his favor, right? But do something
because
you're his redeemed child and you love him with all of your heart. But this makes it very practical. We'll start with Alyssa and then Tricia Lee.
I was just thinking, I remember in Kansas City, there was, it wasn't started by me, but by another young person in our community who said, I want to go do something positive for kids in a neighborhood where there's not a lot positive going on. So she prayed where to go and prayed all around the city. And finally, she actually saw there was a house where it was a crack house, basically. And she saw that and she prayed there and God just said, this is where we need to do a program for the kids. And we did it right in the public park and there was a VBS. And the funny thing is my husband actually grew up a few blocks from there and he accepted Christ through a program that happened a few blocks away that was very similar to ours. And then when we got our first church here in Baltimore, we were able to start a program like that in Baltimore. And so it just keeps going. And I hope someday a kid from Baltimore or Kansas City is going to be starting a program just like that somewhere else too.
Beautiful. And just translation here, for those who think a crack house is a house with a break in the wall. That's an expression just for our viewers, in case you were wondering, that a crack house is a place where there's a lot of drugs that are being
distributed.
And many people would give up and say, nothing's going to happen there. And you're saying the gospel needs to invade there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And people need to experience freedom in Christ. And you did it out of love. Tricia Lee.
I have a friend, and well, here we're in Washington, D.C. area. Housing is very expensive. It's not very cheap or affordable, unfortunately. But there was a man from another country who was here and kind of fell in hard times, and this person opened up their home to house this individual for a prolonged period of time, and this person even started taking the bus to allow this other person to drive their vehicle around to get where they needed to go, and was very helpful. And I spoke to the person that was receiving that help, and this person said, you know, I've seen people ask for help, or I've seen these or heard these stories, and in the past I probably would not have paid attention, but now I found myself in this situation. Here's someone who doesn't even know me, doesn't have to help me, who's helping me. He said, when I go back home, I will not respond to people the same way. And so it was just an example of showing love to someone who I'm sure will go, and if this ever happens, be able to show love to other people as well.
And like Alex said, we may not know what's going to happen in that lady's life or in this man's life, but we have shown them a reflection of the character of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Who loves and serving. So how do we help other people to experience the freedom in Christ we've been talking about? Very simply, how do we help them to experience the freedom in Christ we've been talking about today? Nicole.
Well, I would say we can start with sharing our testimony.
Yeah.
I think if we have our testimony, there's nothing like knowing that the person you're talking to actually has an experience to share with you to help you along your way.
Tell them how you found Jesus, Stephanie.
Share Jesus with them.
That's
in
it.
Any practical way. It doesn't have to be words.
Share Jesus in any practical way. So the freedom we have in Christ is the freedom to serve in love. And God has given you a circle of influence that we don't have. It's the circle He's given you to express your freedom in Christ by serving others in love. No strings attached, not trying to earn God's favor, but because you love Him and you want them to love Him too. Let's pray we can be those kind of people. And God, by His Spirit, we can't do everything, but He will show us what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're challenged. We're blessed to think about freedom in Christ, saved by what Christ has done for us, that His life can be revealed in us by the power of Your Spirit. We're also challenged to really live that. Please guide us day by day. Set us free to serve in love. And we know that Your children will be blessed, but we'll be blessed too. So thank You for that privilege. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You know, the Christian journey is an exciting adventure because Christ wants to live in you and work through you in ways that will bless others and bless you too. So take that good news of freedom in Christ. Let His blessing flow through you. Make a difference in the lives of those around you.